Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for being in your place. And so many good things have happened in our lives just in the last couple days, and I praise God for that. There's no substitute for what God has done in our heart, and we ought to not ever take for granted what He has done in our life. I'd like, if you will, please, I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to take my text out of the book of Matthew. You can go ahead and turn to Matthew, and we'll start in one place and another. Preacher, is it all right? I'd like to give everybody one of these. I've got some boys that have agreed to help me. Okay, thank you. Those boys that have agreed to help me, I want you to take this if you will. And the Lord stirred my heart, and I always struggle with what I'm going to preach. Seems like especially when I come to a place maybe I've never been before, and you just don't know how people are going to take it. But I'm sure glad that I've got to sit through several preachers, because now I know y'all can take it. Amen. And you kind of like it. Amen. I like it that way. I'm very, very encouraged by the message that we just heard. Because I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved, how long you have served God in the ministry, you are not immune from the attack of Satan that will try to discourage you. And if I wasn't already going to be preaching this message, I would ask the Lord to let me preach this message, since I just heard that message. Amen. And so I'm very, very thankful. And while they're helping me here, I do want to say to the church and the pastor, his wife and family, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done to make us as a family to feel so special here in this place. And I appreciate how well you've taken care of our mom and dad for over the last 10 years, and how I just seemed like every year we'd always get a phone call or two or ten, and they would be telling us all about the Raines and the Progress Baptist Church, how much they had a good time. And we'd tell them, well, y'all be sure and come on down and see us after you get done, you know. So we thank you. Thank you for the room, and the meals have just been wonderful. I've enjoyed the fellowship. You've worked hard, and your fellowship hall is beautiful, and I praise the Lord for all the effort. I know it takes a lot of work to get the church ready and to do all these things. Thank you for that. And I appreciate what we have heard tonight. Before I look in the book of Matthew, I do want to read a portion of scripture that the Lord spoke to my heart about this afternoon that goes kind of as an introduction to what I feel like He's laid on my heart to preach tonight. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side." Amen. If that's not you, then you're in the wrong crowd tonight. Amen. There's probably a bingo game going on somewhere. But those of us that are here tonight, we are troubled on every side. How many of you got too much money? How many of you got too much fun? Too much love? Too much peace? Too much getting along? Because we got trouble. We're troubled on every side. Seems like the devil won't quit. When he can't find a chink in the armor over here, he'll come over here and try to get you. The Bible says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Do you always know what to do? I wish I did, but I don't. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. I couldn't tell you the last time that I was persecuted by lost people. Amen. Can you? I mean, you got this guy on the job that makes fun of you. That ain't nothing. Persecuted. My own friends, my own acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. He lift up his heel again. That's what the psalmist said. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. It is a fact, and the preacher preached so well tonight. I feel like that my message, I'm going to just keep going what he said. It is a fact that we who were born of a woman are a few days and full of trouble. The Bible says man is born to trouble as sure as sparks fly upward. There's no doubt about it. We are going to face things in our life that are going to try their very best to do all these things that the Apostle Paul said happens in the life of a believer. I turn your attention now to Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 26. But Jesus beheld them. My pastor, who is Brother Johnny Jones, he said to us many, many times how that Jesus sees and Jesus knows. Jesus can see right through this ceiling, and He can see us. The Bible says Jesus beheld them. Now, if you want to live like this Bible is an antiquated book, you're going to miss out on the present day power that it has for your life tonight. When I read this, Jesus beheld them, I say, He's looking at me. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Persecuted. Discouraged. Just can't seem to get over it. Can't seem to get through it. It won't quit hounding my mind. With men, this is impossible. But with God, help me with this, all things are possible. That means all things. If you're a teenager, a young adult, all things. If you are lonely, all things. If you are doing without, all things. All things means all things. Now, I don't want to have to experience all things to understand that God is able to do all things. Amen. I don't want to have to go through every experience before I finally say, okay, I believe it now. I believe what God said, and with the experiences that I have had, all they do is put a capstone on the truth that has already been given, that God is able to do all things. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now I want you to turn to one other passage and we'll stay here in Matthew chapter 9. I appreciate you being here tonight, and I just can't help but feel this way. I feel very thankful for those from our church who have traveled up to be here tonight. Very thankful for them. I appreciate the support. Just seeing their faces here tonight is encouraging. And so many friends, and it was so good to be here at the Progress Baptist Church. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him crying and saying, I can't get around that. Something in their life, and we know what it is, the Bible tells us, it brought them to a place to where they were not just talking, but they were crying. You say, I think that means they were hollering. Well, think what you want to, but I've been in places where it caused me to cry. My situation brought me to a place of tears. It broke my heart and it broke my mind. It discouraged me. And I was not only crying, but as they were saying, and listen to what they said. They said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, now you may need a little bit of background, because if you don't know this story, you don't have no idea where we're at. Jesus is walking towards Jairus' house. He's been beckoned by Jairus, come. He said, my daughter, and you remember the story, one of the greatest miracles, Jesus raised this girl from the dead. On the way there, there is a woman with the issue of blood who is pressing through this great crowd and reaches out and touches Him. All this is happening in a sequence in this chapter. And the Bible says all these things have happened. The woman with the issue of blood, He's walking to raise this little girl from the dead. And these men, the Bible says, and when He was coming to the house, the blind men came to Him. Here they are coming on in. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, yea, Lord. And He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. We know from reading the rest of the passage that their eyes were opened. Jesus' popularity just increased because of their testimony. Jesus had miraculously healed this woman with the issue of blood. He is here raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. And He's being followed by two men who are crying. I see tears rolling down their face. Their condition was just horrible. Their condition was incurable. They were in a place that it didn't matter how many people patted them on the back and said, I'm praying for you, brother. Nothing that anybody else could do could solve their problem. Hot tears. You ever been there? Hot tears roll down your face. Nobody can do what you need done. But they knew who to call on. Amen. The Bible said they were crying and saying, Son of David, Son of Man. He said, Son of David, have mercy on us. When you think about it, their aspirations were great. They wanted to be able to see, but their ability was limited. We read often of various people, and I think one of the reasons God put such a variety of miracles in the Bible is so at some point or another, you might get the clue and see you in the story. But I noticed three things here I want to give you, and thank you, Pastor, for the time to be able to preach. Their aspiration was great, but their ability was limited. The first thing we notice, and it's pretty obvious, is their obstacle. They were blind. They were blind. They were blind. I've known some blind people, haven't you? It is a sad condition. It is one that we ought to be respectful towards. We ought never make a joke about. We ought never put a stumbling block or a hindrance in front of somebody who is has been afflicted in such a way. The Bible says that these men were blind. But let me just address this. They were honest about it. I hope that in the previous message you weren't the guy or the girl that sat there with your spiritual arms folded and said, that's not me. Not possible. Not me. No. No, couldn't happen to our marriage. Oh, no. No, no. No, these guys were honest about it. I mean, the Bible says they were, and they cried. I didn't care who heard. Have mercy on us. Anybody looking knew what they were talking about. They were honest about their condition. They identified their problem. Well, the devil will try to get you to hide behind an excuse. He'll try to get you to reason it away and say, you know, it's really not as bad. I really can't. I really don't want to go and talk to the preacher about it because you know what level that takes my problem to. If I talk to the preacher, we're over in the red already. I mean, this is a big time high pressure problem. If I got to go talk to the preacher, can I tell you something? If you wait till it's a big high pressure problem, it's liable to explode before you get there. Amen. That's right. This man of God, like any other man of God, has been called by God. And we are God's men who are here and ready and willing and able to help you. We don't want to block the way for you to get your blindness healed. We want to show you the way and lead you the way and bring you to Jesus, amen, so you can get all the help you can handle, amen. Thank God for that, amen. They were blind, but they were honest about it. Some people flatly deny the issue. Preacher, I do not have a problem. It's not me. I mean, I've got all the symptoms, but there's nothing wrong with me. I'm right with God, and I got this spiritual cloud over me, and anybody I talk to, preacher, I'm discouraged and I discourage them, but there ain't nothing wrong with me. Some of you, you can hold it all together while you're in public. You can walk through the doors of the church. Hello, brother. Great singing. We all touched. You talk about touched. We were touched. Are there tissues? I'm about to need one. What a blessing. You lay down on your pillow at night, and it's about to tear you apart because you're blind and you know it, or you're discouraged and you know it. Or you've got broken pieces in your life that you can't find where they went. And you've had a situation that's happened that you don't want to talk about. and you're embarrassed about what you did, or any number of things. But I tell you what, you got to be so careful when you're dealing with people, because you just don't know what they're going through right now. I've pastored a long time, and I have seen people, maybe you're not those people, but I've seen people who have got some age on them, and they feel like, I'm not useful anymore. And they come in the house of God, and if we're not careful, we'll add frustration to their feeling, because we'll bypass them. When we need to stop, as that dear lady said a while ago, say, hey, how you doing? Can I tell you something? It's really good to see you here tonight. Amen. That's right. Don't just go up to the popular and the talented. And they're not the only ones that's a blessing. As a preacher, it sure is good. I'm glad that everybody else is. If all we had here tonight was the people that sang and played, well, I tell you, every one of you a blessing to me. I'm glad you're here. Can I say that goes the same thing for a 14-year-old kid? His feet are bigger than he can figure out, and everything's changing about him, and he just don't know, and he feels so awkward. And every time he goes to talk, he goes somewhere else, and he don't know what's going on, and everybody's laughing. And you don't know what he deals with when he goes home and lays in his bed at night, and the devil says, you're a, and he fills in the blank. Amen. Young adults, are you ever going to get finished with college? How old are you now? You ever going to get married? I'd like to have a boot that we found in a pond somewhere that I could put in their mouth when they open it. God's got a plan for every single one of your lives. And if you jump the gun on God, you're going to be in a mess that you can't get out of. And God pity the idiot that's going to run their mouth about God's plan for your life. Amen. 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 That's right. But you feel it. Whatever your situation may be, you feel it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm graduating from high school. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got my degree now, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Every single one of us have a problem. And if we'll be honest about it, we might get some help. I noticed the obstacle. First of all, they were blind. Secondly, they were burdened. You know what happened to these guys, don't you? Same thing that happens ever now and again. We'll see it happen in somebody's life. This dear brother testified of it tonight. They were burdened, and their problem got big enough that they finally did something about it. Now, maybe the problem with you is that your problem's just not big enough yet. You're still trying to do push-ups every morning and sit-ups every night and try to pick your problem up and carry it yourself. And I got this. You know what? We're not built to got this. I know it's not great English for all you great English people. We're not built to got this. We don't have enough positive mental attitude and outlook to be able to clear the deck and make it all right. No, this thing's still here. Do you know every morning they got up, if they blinked their eyes, and they could say, oh, you know, I got a positive mental attitude. They're still blind. It's all right, I got this. And you know the catastrophe that could have been. And that's the same thing happening in your life. They were burdened, but their problem had been so heavy on them that they were willing to do anything to get the help they needed. It's what she testified about a while ago. It finally got big enough to where you come to an altar. You say, God, I don't got this. I'm not big enough to handle this. This is getting bigger than I. This is outweighing me by far. I don't even want to talk about it. It plagues my mind. It's almost as if I'm not thinking about something else, my mind will naturally migrate back to this, because this is the underlying current of my entire existence. And it's what I have become. It's who I am. And it defines me from within. And now maybe even people from without are seeing it. But I'm getting honest with God tonight. Somebody here tonight may need to get honest with God. You might need to get at an altar and say, Lord, the burden got big enough. It got big enough. It got big enough. It got big enough. And I know coming to an altar and getting up many times, the problem's still there, but it's not on me anymore, because my Jesus said that we could cast our care upon Him. I know this is Sunday school stuff, but you getting it, ain't you? He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Amen. That's right. We see their obstacle. Then we see their options. You know, they only had two options. Their options were very, very simple. Either we get miraculously healed by God, either God delivers us, or we maintain our current distress. We'll come to church and we'll still leave the same. We'll come to church and we'll go away and the burden is still there. The discouragement is still there. The problem is still there. The mental anguish is still there. And we have not done what God has said for us to do. We have not truly cast it. Maybe you did, but you picked it back up before you left the house of God. And so often we forget that we have another option. There is a miracle worker. He's good at putting homes back together. He's good at encouraging the discouraged. He's good at providing a way when there seems to be no way. He's good at parting the Red Sea. He's good at what He does. And He is the one that they cried after that day when they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. We saw, well, we didn't see it, but we heard what You did for her. We heard what You did for them. I don't have a problem with having faith that Jesus could do for you. You believe that God could help all of them. What's He going to do for you? You believe Jesus got an answer for you? You believe that Jesus knows and Jesus cares and Jesus is able and Jesus is... I mean, look, He stopped what He was doing. And that wasn't the first time. In this chapter, it wasn't the first time. He's going to raise the dead and He stops and says, virtue has left me. Who got helped? Somebody just got help. Who was it? Amen. Amen, that's right. Two of the greatest miracles in the Word of God we read in this passage. And yet Jesus has time for people like us who are just stumbling through life. And I'm not trying to sound funny, but that's exactly what we're doing. We're stumbling through life trying to make it on our own. Got this, and I'll do better, and I'll figure it out, and I'll just, what, don't kill me and make me stronger, and all that nonsense of social psychology and vain thoughts of the world will plug into your mind. No, we are broken. We are weak. We are helpless without Jesus. We need Him to get me through my teenage years. We need Him to get me through my young adult years. We need Him at the sunset of our life. We need Jesus, and if I don't get Jesus, then I'm going to be stuck in the same rut that I've been in. Here's your option: either a miracle of God or you maintain your current distress. I pick curtain number one. Amen. Thirdly, we see their opportunity. We see their opportunity. The Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Here's their opportunity. First of all, we notice, and I know it sounds very simple, we sing songs about it, we shouted about it. Jesus passed by. Amen. Boy, it wasn't every moment of today that we had the touch of God and the presence of God like we've had tonight in the house of God. Amen. I know He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's everywhere all at the same time. But I'm going to tell you, I have worshiped God tonight more in the house of God when Jesus passed by in this place more than I did any other time today. Amen. That's one reason I wouldn't miss the house of God. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Maybe I can worship God at the house, yeah, but it won't be near as good as it is when you come to His house. Amen. Thank God, that's right. Jesus is there, and He's welcoming us, and Jesus passed by. Boy, they were singing those songs a while ago, and I just tell you, Jesus is passing by. He's been in this tonight. Pastor preached a while ago, and man, Jesus passed by, stirred our hearts, and thank God, this is when you can get help. Amen. Here's the opportunity. Jesus passed by. And you know how I know? It's because the opportunity has obviously proven itself to be true because Jesus is helping others. Amen. I'm not the only one that recognized Jesus passed by. Amen. There was an altar full of people and people getting right, people testifying, folks singing, man alive, y'all some singing people. Amen. That's right, preacher, you've done well. They are singing people. I like it. I like it when you can rear back and sing in a church. You know what I mean? Amen. Somebody else is getting help. That woman with the issue of blood, she got some help. I just see Mr. and Mrs. Jairus over there having a little three-way hug with their daughter who got raised from the dead. And if that don't do something for you, I don't know what's wrong with you. Amen. I mean, their child just raised from the dead. Amen. Mom and dad, don't let your kids come to an altar without you getting stirred up about it. Amen. Don't let them get saved or get right with God without it affecting you in a way that touches you on the inside. Amen. I just tell you what, we had a little three-way over here, Jairus, his wife, and little Jerusad or whatever her name was. Other people getting help. But Jesus wants to help you. Jesus, these men, we're nobody, we're nothing. We're not kin to anybody here. We're the outcast. We're the underdog. We don't have any money to put in the plate. But would you still help us? Would you have mercy on me? Jesus asked him a simple question. It's a question I'm going to ask you tonight. Previously, you were handed a little piece of paper. If you can get something to write with, won't you write this down? Some of you are looking at me like you're ready, but I'm actually done. I already told you what to write. I want you to write this. Now, T-H-I-S. Now, for some of you, it's going to be a bitter heart that is just about to eat through your chest. For others, it may be unforgiveness for something that was said or done to you a long time ago, and nobody's ever even tried one time to make it right. For some of you, it's the current situation that you are in right now that you see no way out. It's a dark tunnel, and you're walking through it. And you feel alone. Foolish people keep saying foolish things to you. Pat you on the shoulder and say, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. These men were blind. And Jesus asked them one simple question. It's the same one I'm asking you tonight. Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this. For them, it was blindness. If that's all he was able to do, then most of us, or probably all of us in here tonight, would walk away with no help. But what Jesus is talking to you about tonight is this. I probably wouldn't name yours if I tried, but you know what it is. You know what has weighed and burdened you. And maybe the burden got big enough tonight to where in just a moment I'm going to ask you to come and kneel down in an altar and say, Lord, I believe that you're able to do this. This. I'm so angry, but I believe you're able to free me. I'm so discouraged, but I believe you're able to do this. They had no problem believing that Jesus could heal the woman with the issue of blood. They had no problem believing he could do for others what they had seen him do. believing what Jesus has done and is doing in the lives of others. It is amazing. It encourages us. It's wonderful. But that's not what he's asking you tonight. He's not asking you, do you believe that God can answer your prayer? Maybe a young couple. He's not asking you, do you believe that God can give somebody else a baby? That secret burden, that weight on your heart, that thing that you don't want to talk about because you feel so intimidated. This. Holy Ghost knows. He can translate this from each of our little papers. He knows. He knows. Jesus wants to know. He wants to hear from your own heart and your own lips that you believe that He is able to do this. This. That impossible lifelong pain and suffering that you've struggled with. This. The reason that you live in fear and frustration. This. The cause of your countless sleepless nights and tears that roll down your face. This. Jesus is asking the question right here and right now. And you don't have to blurt it out. You don't have to stand before us and tell us, I'm this, or I feared that, or I failed. Not a, it's just you and Jesus. And He just wants to know tonight, do you believe? Do you believe that He is able to do, not what they wrote down, but for you? Do you believe it? I'm asking you, if you will, to stand with me, and our heads are bowed. As the pastor will allow, we'll give an invitation. We've all got the same problem. It's this. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to bring you this. And let's lay them on the altar. Let's put them on the altar. You'd feel silly telling me what this is. I understand that. I might feel silly telling you what my this is. So I'm not going to ask you to tell me. I'm going to ask you to tell Him. I believe that He's able to do this. That's all He's asking. That's all He's asking. With men, this is impossible. Isn't that neat? With men, this is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Even this. The altar's filling up. Just keep coming. Keep coming. There's no pressure. There's no intimidation. There's no comparison. Because every one of us has a this that you're dealing with. I believe He's able to do that for you. But do you believe He is able to do this for you? The Bible says that they said unto Him, and this is what I'm going to encourage you to say to Him tonight, yea, Lord. In other words, yes, Lord, I believe. Whatever you choose to do with my this is your business. If you change all my circumstances, miraculously heal and help and raise up and do, God, that's your business. What you've asked of me tonight is to simply believe that you are able to do this. So, Lord, here's my this. And I put it on the altar. And I'm not going to pick it up. I'm going to leave it right there. Here's my this. You know what it is. And He knows what it is. But He asks you anyway, do you believe that I'm able to do this?